I wonder if we really thought about that this morning, how truly blessed that we are. God's good to us, isn't he? I want to ask your prayers again today. I want to take a reading again from the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3. I'd like to begin reading with verse 21 and finish the chapter. Jeremiah chapter 3, beginning with verse 21. A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. For shame hath devoured the labor of our fathers from our youth, their flocks and their herds, their sons and their daughters. We lie down in our shame, and our confusion covereth us. For we have sinned against the Lord our God, we and our fathers, from our youth even unto this day, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God. I want to speak today about the real problem. The real problem. That's going to be the title that I want to use today, the real problem. The Lord placed these thoughts upon my heart to share with you today, and I got up this morning and turned on the old-fashioned gospel hour when it came on, and Brother G.W. Knight was preaching on there this morning from Maple Grove number 2, and he was preaching about things that are of great concern to him concerning our nation. And then I heard some of Brother Wheat's lesson during Sunday school today, and he was talking about things concerning our nation. And I want to speak about that today as well. And I want to share with you the things that God has placed upon my heart today. And then I want to ask, of course, I mean, we always want to give way to the Spirit of the Lord if he directs differently. But I want to ask, after I share this message with you today, that I would like to call the church together up here around the altar for prayer. And if you are concerned, as I am, that we would have prayer together. The Bible talks a lot, especially in the Old Testament, about different nations and different things that nations experienced. And when we read about the history of this nation known as Israel, we see that they got in trouble a lot of times because of the same thing. They kept doing the same thing over and over, and they continued to get in trouble because of it. And sometimes there would be things that would exist among them, and I want to read a few verses from the first chapter of Isaiah concerning this nation of people. In Isaiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 3, it says, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the soles of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, nor mollified with ointment. They haven't been treated. They've been left alone. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. I want you to keep those verses in mind, that those things Isaiah said concerning Israel, as I continue on here. Jeremiah said a voice was heard. Where was it heard? It was heard up on the high places. And when this voice was heard, it was heard weeping and making supplications. It was the children of Israel that was doing this. It was their voice that the Lord heard, weeping and making supplications. The problem was, is they were not making supplications to Him. They were up on the high places and the mountains where they were, where they customarily set up their idols. And they were making their supplications to them. That was what this verse was talking about. The voice heard up on the high places was the children of Israel weeping and making requests and making supplications of the false gods that they had set up. And the Lord, the true God, and listen, folks, still today, I don't care what anybody else may tell you, still today, there is only one true God. His name is Jehovah. He always has been, and He remains today the only true and living God. The Bible says there are gods many, and that's spoken in reference to false gods, and certainly there are many false gods. But there is only one real God, one true God. And He's the one, by the way, that saved my soul many years ago and has been keeping me all these years. We go on and we read here how that the Lord pleaded with them to return unto Him. He called them His backsliding children. And He said, return unto Me. I'm glad that God is so merciful. I'm glad that He is long-suffering and that God is patient and that He will extend His mercy, because He certainly, they did not deserve that, but He said, return unto Me, ye backsliding children. And the 23rd verse said, truly in vain. Think about again them being up there in the high places and up on the mountains worshiping and looking to idol gods for their help. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. When Israel was looking to that, when they were looking to the false gods that had been established in those high places for help, they were searching with great vanity. They were looking in vain for help. Now, our help does come from the hills, but not those hills. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My health cometh from the Lord. And so we've got to look higher than what they were talking about here. We've got to look to the higher hills. And so he says, in vain is salvation or deliverance hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Now, I want to borrow this statement that Brother Dallas made in his Sunday school lesson today, talking about things concerning Israel, and said that these things were true about Israel, but they also apply to America today. And I say amen to that. I believe that we can read many things in the Bible concerning things that plagued the nation of Israel, and we can see those same things in our country today. We can see the same things happening to us. And I'm going to say this, not only similar things happening to us that happened to them, but the reason that they're happening is the same. They're happening to us today for the same reason that these things happened to Israel. What was the problem here? What was the real problem? What is the problem that plagues every nation that becomes guilty of this? The real problem was that they had forsaken the Lord their God. They had turned their back on Him. They did not care anymore what He said. They didn't care what God's instructions to them were. They turned their back on the Lord. They turned their back on His word, and they suffered because that they did. Sound familiar to you? Can you see that in your surroundings today? Let's look at the second chapter of this same book in verse 11. Here's a question. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Now listen to this. Listen to this 12th verse. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. I'll tell you what, when any people turns away from God, they better watch out. Righteousness, this is straight from the Word of God. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is their belly, whose God is their money. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So what does that tell us for a nation whose God is not the Lord? Then they're not blessed, are they? If a nation is blessed because God is their Lord, then on the other side of that coin, a nation is not going to be blessed if God is not their Lord, if they are making gods out of everything else the way that Israel did and the way that this country is doing today, then they need not look for the blessings of God upon them. You know, the promises that God made to Israel were always conditional. You can go and you can read time and time and time again in the Old Testament of God's dealings with the nation of Israel. He had chosen this nation unto Himself. He had committed unto them, as Paul said in the Roman letter, He had committed unto them the oracles of God. It was these people to whom there at Sinai that He had given His law. God had chosen them to Himself and showed great favor towards them. But you can read time and time and time again in the Old Testament that God made promise to them that he would always bless them, that he would always be with them, that he would multiply and increase them if they would obey him. If they would obey his laws, if they would obey his precepts, if they would walk according to the way that he had commanded them to walk and to live, that he would always bless them and be with them. But that promise was conditional because he did not promise that to them in their disobedience. But I'll tell you what he would do. He would promise them that as he would bless them in their obedience, that he would curse them in their disobedience. You go and read the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy, and I won't go through all that, but I would encourage you to. Go read Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 28, and in summary, here's what you'll find. God told these people, Israel, he told this nation, if you will hide my words in your heart, if you will have them as frontlets before your eyes, if you will consider my word in that way and teach those same things to your children, then I will continue to bless you and I will continue to be with you. But if ye fail in these things, I will bring my curse upon you. You can read that there and you'll find that that's what he told them. I will curse you if you disobey me. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 28. I encourage you to read that. You know, it seems today that we are blinded, and I'm talking about, again, as a nation. It seems that we are blinded to what the problem really is, doesn't it? We are trying to, it seems like that we are a country of people that are trying to fix the things that are happening to us because of the problem. We're trying to fix the effects of the problem without addressing the problem itself. Well, that doesn't work, does it? You know, we are a nation today, and I don't want to be, I certainly don't want this to be political and don't mean that to be in any way, but we are a nation today that's greatly in debt. I mean greatly in debt. We are a nation perhaps that has an economy that's right on the verge of totally collapsing. And you know, it seems like that every time that you turn around, somebody is talking about that. Somebody is talking about this huge deficit, this huge debt that we have. Somebody is talking about possible ways that we might be able to correct that. Somebody is talking about things that we might be able to do better concerning foreign policy and all of these things. But listen, I'll tell you what we need today. We need somebody, you know, when you're talking about a leader, we need somebody that will stand up today that really knows the problem, that knows what the problem really is, and stand up before this nation of people today and say, truly, I cannot fix this problem. Only God can fix this problem. And if you look to anybody other than God, then you're looking in vain, because he's the only one that has the remedy. And I'll tell you what, if we could somehow miraculously wipe out these problems, if we could somehow get rid of the huge debt and things like that that are afflicting us, and we continue in this nation to have the ideas that we have ungodly misconception about marriage and the sanctity of life and all these things that God told us about in His Word, then we won't accomplish anything. You could wipe that big debt out and God will still be unhappy because we've turned away from Him. If you don't feel that way, if you don't want to admit it, that's up to you. But that's what I see. That's what I see. How many of you attended? How many of you here today? Maybe nobody, I don't know. Is there anybody here today that attended the one-room schoolhouse? Raise your hand if you did. Went to school in the little one-room schoolhouse. You know, we can look at that. We can look at this little small group of people that gathered together in the little country schoolhouse. You know what? Some of them people didn't make it past the fourth or fifth grade. Boy, they had a wisdom, though. They had a wisdom that a lot of people don't have today, that have much higher level of learning. Those little schoolhouses, we could take one of those little country one-room schoolhouses that had just a small group of kids, mostly farm kids in there. And like I said, some of them didn't even make it very far in school. And then we can put it by one of these big fancy buildings that we have today that's just filled with students. And we can look at the contrast there and we can say, boy, how far we've come. Look how far we've advanced. Have we? Have we? You know what happened in those little schoolhouses? They let the kids out of school to go to the revivals. They let them out to go and attend the revivals. You know what the main thought of the schools were at that time? That the things of God were more important than the things of the schools. Is that the way it's looked at now? We know that it's not. We know that it's not. You see, we believe that we've made all these advancements when what we do, what we continue to do in our society, in families, in schools, in government, is go further and further and further away from God. That's what we're doing. It seems to me that every 4 years, at every time that in this nation that we have an election, we hear people begin to talk about their desire for somebody to fill that office that can turn this economy around, that can make things more prosperous for us, somebody that can put more money in our pockets. You just don't seem to hear the general population of people saying, listen, we need to get a Josiah in there. We need to get somebody in there that will be able to see that we have not done things according to the Word of God. We have forsaken God. We have forsaken His principles. And I'll tell you what, in my estimation, the problems that Israel had in their time and the problems that we have in our country today, the real problem is, and the reason that we see these things, is because we have turned as a nation. We've turned God off. His word is ancient. That's what they say. That word, you know, those words in the Bible, that those are archaic writings. What are you doing listening to something that was written many, many years ago? We're in the modern age. Wake up. Forget about those things. Isn't that what you're hearing? we found a better way than what God had, we'll do it our own way. We'll do things according to our philosophy. We don't care about God's rules. You know, there are people today that because of things that are said in the Word of God, because the things that God said in His Word about these gross sins, there are people today that accuse God of being a God of hate rather than a God of love. Sin is a reproach to any people. The schools today, they're not worried about the churches, are they? They're not worried about it. Not only have we gone way past the kids being released to go and attend the church services, to go and attend the revival services, but now the schools, we will schedule things to interrupt the churches. Now, folks, you can like that or not like it, but I don't believe you can deny it's the truth. That's exactly what's going on. We've turned to the things of the world much more than we have to the things of the Lord. You don't have to go out and chop down a tree and start carving on it and fashion a body out of it and make an actual idol out of it to be guilty of idolatry. You don't have to do that. Anything that we put before God, anything that we allow to take precedence and priority over the things of God becomes an idol to us. The Bible tells us that covetousness is idolatry. If we covet the things of this world more than we do the things of God, then we've become idol worshipers. A voice was heard. Who heard it? God did. A voice was heard upon the high places and in the mountains. Israel weeping, weeping, making their supplications to the idols. We have a nation before us, it seems today, we are a nation today that seems to look in every direction and to everything and everyone else for help except for God. We think this person or that person is going to be the one that'll really pull us out. You know what out of all of the verses in the chapters in the Bible, you know what the very center of the Bible says? It's better to trust in the Lord than to place confidence in man. Boy, we need God. We need His help. We need His help. I'd like for us to pray. Everybody that will.